We've been considering how modeling the Christian life forms a foundation for pastoral care. We model the life we desire to see in people. Our efforts in shepherding will be fruitless unless people can see in our lives the life we are encouraging in them. That's the beginning of discipleship and the beginning of shepherding care. Let's consider now Paul's model to the Ephesian elders. In verse 19, he reads, beginning in verse 18, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know that from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews.'" Did you notice? Paul says he came with all humility. Paul had every right to be arrogant and a sense of entitlement. He was, after all, the great apostle, and in the way we would count success, he was wildly successful in his ministry. But he reminded the elders that while he was with them, he worked with his own hands. A little later, he says in verse 34, he says, "You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me." Tent making was his trade, and as a trade, it was a humble profession. In his ministry at Ephesus, he submitted himself also to the indignity of opposition, the Jews plotting against him. Notice in verse 19, he says, "With all humility, with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews." He could have said, "I don't deserve this." He could have walked out and says, "Do you not realize who I am? I am the Apostle Paul." He could have left Ephesus, but he submitted himself to that treatment because he cared for the ones who believed. Often, caring for others means you get treated poorly. Paul understood that, and it was with humility he continued to work with them. The second thing I see here in the Apostle Paul's recollection to the Ephesian elders, he says that he was hardworking, he was diligent and generous. Notice what he says in verse 35, he says, or verse 33, "I coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Did you catch that? He said he was hardworking, he was diligent, he was generous. Now, we might say, well, that's rather arrogant if I were to say that sort of thing, but Paul was speaking to those that he had discipled. He's using himself because he modeled what he wanted them to act like. A lack of these qualities renders our efforts to caring for others as superficial or perfunctory. We need to be hardworking. We need to be diligent. We need to be generous with our time, our energy, and our resources. Sometimes caring for people means rolling up our sleeves, grabbing a shovel or a hammer, a wrench, or a broom. Paul also shared his stuff with people. So when he came alongside of them to teach them how they can apply the Word of God in their lives as he met with them from house to house, they would have listened to him. You see, people tend to accept our spiritual interest and counsel when they see us sharing our stuff with them. The third thing I see in the passage is that Paul was relational. He was relational at an emotional level. See in verse 19, he says, "Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears," he says. And then in verse 31, he says, "Therefore be alert, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease admonishing you, each one with tears." And then in verse 37, when he's finally leaving, after he finishes his final message to them, it says, "And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him." You see, they felt the same intimacy with him as he modeled for them. You see, Paul felt for the Ephesians believers. He was empathetic. That meant he felt what they were feeling. Possibly he might have been referring to suffering, but it was clear that there was much love between them all, because in verse 37, they all wept aloud and embraced Paul and one another. You see, empathy means there's an emotional connection. It's okay to be scholarly and administrative and to be a type A personality. And it's okay to be doctrinally correct. But people won't be changed by the truth, as the old saying is, if they don't know that you care for them. People won't care what you know until they know that you care. Empathy is the capacity to feel for others in their experiences, to, in a sense, to vicariously feel what they're feeling. Now, Paul, fourthly, makes it clear, he modeled that he was need-oriented. Look in verse 20 in the first part, he says, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." Paul was need-oriented. He determined what was needed, what was profitable. He didn't avoid any teaching that was necessary for their good. He was issue-oriented. He didn't just start with one passage and just work his way through. He let his teaching be determined by the needs of the people. He taught doctrine, that's true, but he always taught doctrine with a purpose. You see, shepherding at its core is helping people live the life of Christ. Whatever the problem, the solution, as we see from Paul's writings, is always somehow relating it back to what took place on the cross. Check on your own sometime 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 and then in verse 23 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 22. Paul says, "I preach Christ and him crucified," repeatedly. And as shepherding people, we need to show them how, no matter what they're going through, they need to relate it back to what we learn about God and Christ and what he did on the cross. The fifth thing I see in Paul's recollection to the Ephesian elders is that he was flexible. Look in verse 20 again. It says at the end of verse 20, he was teaching publicly and from house to house. Some pastoral care takes place in large groups where we're teaching what I would call the bread and butter ministry. We're teaching the whole congregation. And we teach them how to live by spending time also with them on a personal level. A shepherd elder needs to be able to meet others when they're available. Now, obviously, we can meet them all when we teach on a Sunday morning. But there's also visiting individuals, having coffee in a coffee shop. There's what I call one-minute pastoral eldering on a Sunday morning. We've written an article that's on our website. You can read it and check that out. There's also a five-minute pastoral event. Maybe it takes place after a Bible study or in between meetings when we focus in on one person and we give them our undivided attention. A sixth thing I see with Paul is not only was he flexible, but he was focused. In verse 21, he says, "I was solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." He was focused. And you notice, did you see there was two things that he talked about there? The first one is that he taught them repentance toward God. It's turning from our wrong ways. And even as Christians, we tending to always be tempted to go in ways that are contrary to the way Christ lived his life. There's anxiety. Christ was free from that. When we allow anxiety to take over us, we need to turn from that. That's what repentance is. We sometimes are overcome with fear. We need to turn from fear. An elder's job is to help people when they're overwhelmed with fear to be able to turn from that and turn to Christ. There's helping people turn away from ignorance by instructing them on how they can deal with their life issues. There's interpersonal conflict. There's internal conflicts people have with themselves. There's pain. There's uncertainty. There's grief. Being able to turn away from these things to be able to, as the book of Hebrews says, to rest in Christ. You see, pastoral shepherding is to help people to deal with all these things by turning to Christ. In Christ is all wisdom and it counters ignorance. Love casts out fear and Christ is the perfect example of love. Hope in Christ mitigates anxiety. He holds tomorrow. He's the peacemaker. And sometimes, yes, people need specialized counseling that requires somebody who's well-trained in helping discover the deep things of the heart. But even so, The need for pastoral or elder counseling is there for strengthening the person's life, their spiritual life, while they're going through specialized counseling. Not only is Paul focused on helping people understand repentance toward God, but he's also focused on helping them have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to help people turn away from wrong behavior, but it's another thing to show them what they're turning toward, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, don't we, that Christ is the key to all life's problems. And trusting Him as we go through them, trusting Christ to lead us through them, trusting Christ to sustain us even if the problems don't go away. Paul preached the whole purpose of God, and he preached how it relates to Christ. So there's the faith in Christ he was focused on and turning from the wrong ways. Think, for example, when he met with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, the writer of Luke, Dr. Luke, says, "Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in scriptures." They were suffering grief. They were suffering discouragement. He didn't come along and put an arm around them and say, "Oh, things are going to get better." He pointed them to himself using scripture. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, when Philip was on the road south of Jerusalem talking to the eunuch in the chariot, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he preached Jesus to him." What an encouragement to lead people to Christ when they're struggling with the meaning of scripture. Now, the seventh thing I see in the passage that Paul modeled for them is found in verse 36. It says, "When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all." Paul was prayerful. This was not the new thing. This was not something just out of the blue. They understood that this was the way of Paul, and they shared it with him. You see, shepherding is not primarily exercising the gift of mercies. Shepherding means watching over people's spiritual well-being. Pastoral ministry means being aware of the things that weigh people down, the things that oppress them, that take their joy away, that unsettles their peace. Shepherding at an individual level means to care for people's spiritual well-being, and that affects every other area of life. Counseling and problem-solving can't take the place of genuine, profound spiritual shepherding. Because if their spirit is not resting in Christ, any help that you provide will at best be temporary and superficial. My prayer is that the Lord would grant me a shepherding heart, and that He would grant you a shepherding heart, that you and I might be His servants in helping others walk close to Christ in their life circumstances. And my prayer is that He would receive all the glory forever and ever, amen, as people learn to walk close to Him in all of life's circumstances. That's spiritual pastoral shepherding.